With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ryan Scalabrine joins us now. There's a read for him. We'll get to it momentarily here. But Scal, welcome to You Better You Bet. Nick and Ken, thanks for coming on. I'm sure this is hectic for you right now in Beantown with the Celtics naming Ime Udoka their new head coach. So Scal, why don't we start there? Your thoughts on the new Boston Celtics head coach, Ime Udoka.
You know, I stopped like having opinions on like assistant coaches who I think are going to be good or not or any of that stuff. I know that the players, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, they played for him at USA Basketball, I guess it would be 2 summers ago, and they really liked him. They spoke really highly of him. I kind of felt like about 3 weeks ago he was going to be the guy because no one was talking about the Celtic coach and figured they were in the middle of the playoff series and all this stuff was going to happen. So I get all that, and I think, you know, he's a Popovich disciple, been around, coached a long time, had some success, so I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he'll figure this thing out.
Scale in terms of when you look at Celtics offseason as a whole, right? And it's not, you know, we wouldn't just do this with any team. The Celtics have had more news than basically any team except Dallas in the last like month, basically. You know, you have obviously the moves with Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens taking the new role, which allowed for this hire to take place. You also had the trade of Kemba Walker. Brad Stevens had a bunch of quotes earlier today, I think I saw, about Al Horford and bringing him. And so like a ton of movement for one of the kind of the perennially great franchises in the NBA. Your kind of evaluation of the offseason so far and what we can kind of expect going forward here as you get ready for another season.
Yeah, so I think they did a good job with the Kemba Walker deal. You know, they had $73 million on the books. Al Horford is somewhere around 27 this year and then 14 guaranteed that they can maybe waive him, maybe stretch him, get rid of him. So if the idea was to get off Kemba Walker, I thought they did that. And then another idea that I think that they're going to kind of do going forward is I think they're going to – everybody they sign on the team is going to be – to enhance Jaylen and Jason. Those two guys are their guys. So who do we sign that's going to help those guys? And sometimes help doesn't mean just a guy to alleviate the offense from them. It means help to get those guys open shots. You know, Al Horford historically has been, you know, right around 40% from three. He's a really good guy to run the ball through. He's good at dribble handoffs. He's good at moving the basketball, which I think will help Jason and Jaylen. So I think moving forward, when you see a move that the Celtics make, They're going all in on their two superstars. They believe that their two superstars can be two top 10 players in the NBA, and they just got to have the right pieces around them to make sure that those guys can get there.
Scal, in the next segment, we'll talk about the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. But in the minutes that we have remaining here in this segment, what the hell happened to the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yeah, meltdown big time. I mean, like, Ben Simmons don't want to be out there. He doesn't want the basketball. I don't know how you play basketball that way. I know that Doc's getting a lot of heat for it. I don't even think in all my years you can coach around a superstar that literally does not want the ball in his hands. I don't even, like, you have no experience for that. You know, the guy's making $30 million. And there's been other players out there that have, you know, been bad offensive players, but they're not afraid of touching the ball because they don't want to get fouled and go to the free throw line. So I don't put it necessarily on Doc. I put it on Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has got to figure this thing out. Or probably move. And you know, Philadelphia is a pretty hard place to play. Maybe with him moving, you know, he could kind of resurrect his career. But right now it looks pretty bleak for Ben Simmons in Philly.
Scale, we have like literally like about, you know, like 90 seconds left. Nick and I were kind of talking about this while we were getting you on and while we were watching Euro soccer and everything. I asked Nick, what is your general excitement level for Space Jam, A New Legacy? And Nick responded that not only is he not at all excited for the new Space Jam movie, he actually strongly dislikes even the original Space Jam because he hates Michael Jordan because he was a Knicks fan growing up. So I'm curious, what was your interaction with, like, how much do you like the old Space Jam? Do you have any interest whatsoever here in about a minute of seeing the new one?
No, I'm not. I like the old one because... Well, how long ago did the old one come out? 30 years ago?
95?
Something like that, yeah.
95. So, yeah, when I was a kid, you know what? I'll have to ask my kids. Why don't I know we're going to a break and we're coming back. I'll ask. I got a bunch of kids. I just had basketball camp. I got a bunch of kids here. I'll ask them if they're excited at all. Because me, I got zero excitement about Space Jam with LeBron James at this point.
Like, LeBron's corny. Like, Michael wasn't corny. Like, Mike, like, right. You knew, no. Michael was playing a role. Like, LeBron, you don't think LeBron's corny, Scal?
No, I say no. Like, I agree with you. Like,
no,
right.
No, like, corny.
He's the corny. Right. He's the corniest. Like,
yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah, like, I mean, like, I'm being your backup dancer, being like, no, you're right, Nick. You're right.
Oh, I like that. He's singing harmony for me. I like that in our band here. I love that. Costos and Scals. We love it here.
Yeah.
With Ime Udoka. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Okay, so quick break here on You Better. You Better. When we come back, as the show's thrown in flux because of the Ime Udoka news. Thanks a lot, Celtics jerks. Brian Scalabrine joins us for another segment right after this. We'll ask Scal what he's betting on tonight. Bucks and Hawks, Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals, and what he thinks about the Western Conference Finals. Suns and Clippers. Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, coming up right after this with Nick and Ken.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Joining the show right now, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights to the sports books. They don't want you to see it. Bet smarter and beat the books by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com today. I don't know why we do the or there. It should be and. We want you to download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com. And we want you to do it.
Does it really say or there? Does it really, of course. Does it really do that?
Yeah.
You know what? Don't go to both. Just pick one and definitely don't do the other one. Yeah, definitely don't do that.
We want you to do all of it and then hit the refresh button like 30 times. Right. Download the app a bunch of times. Use my promo code Costos for any subscription. BetQL.com and the BetQL app. But we don't just want you to do it today. We want you to do it right now. Speaking of right now, Brian Scalabrine with us right now. Scal, welcome back to the show. Good to talk to you again. All right, let's talk about what we saw last night in game number two with the Suns and the Clippers before we spin it ahead to game number three and then get your pick for game number one tonight with the Bucks and the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Final. What'd you think of the final couple minutes last night, which literally took 30 minutes of real time to get through 2 minutes with all the Scott Foster-led reviews?
Yeah, so I didn't love that, obviously. I know they have to get it right, and geez, if you're a guy that got a couple hundred on the game, of course you want to make sure they get it right during that whole time. So I get all that. I thought that was a lot of points for the Suns. I think it went in at 5, maybe 5.5. I thought that was a lot. I didn't realize, you know, like sometimes those are tough because a 2-point game could turn into a 7-point game just like that. But, you know, I at that night I went with the Clippers. I didn't think they were going to win, but I kind of thought that at that moment, 5 points was a lot. I feel like it was going to be a close game. I give the Clippers a lot of credit. Devin Booker not playing well, campaign playing out of his mind. They figured out a way to get that win. And it's still amazing to me how, you know, that pass where the ball goes right over the rim. It's amazing that players don't know the rules. You would think that, you know, every NBA player would know that a sideline pass out of bounds, there is no goaltending at that point.
Scale, let's talk about that play again briefly. You make a great point about understanding the rules about goaltending. Mark Jackson, right after Breen's like, it's over, Mark Jackson's like, and he can touch the ball, like he can touch the ball, because I think a lot of fans were probably kind of curious about the same thing. Nick and I said in the first hour, we don't understand why every team that has anyone over like 6'10", 6'11", doesn't run that play way more than like a step back three for somebody, especially if the score warrants it. You know, in your time playing, like, was that like the number one play that you guys would have in mind for that situation? And are you surprised that teams don't do that more often?
Well, you know what? You don't practice a lot of coffin corner. That's what they call that space. And you saw DeMarcus Cousins. He did a terrible job of taking away the angle. That pass was like, you know, half an inch away from hitting the backboard. But you don't practice a lot of coffin corner because you don't get a lot of coffin corner. That's just how it is. But the replay helped those guys out, and everything worked out for the Suns. You know, when they went to the replay, they got a free timeout. But no, you would practice a baseline out of bounds, but that's a different pass when you're underneath the hoop than if you're, you know, deep in that corner. And also you work at, you know, that sideline out of bounds where the timelines are. So, you know, teams don't necessarily practice that. And it wasn't that complicated of a play. I think I'm baffled when I coach my daughter's 14-year-old AAU team, and they still get beat by screen to screener. So in this situation, the Suns just played that all completely wrong. I wouldn't have put any pressure on the ball. My guess is NBA players and aren't necessarily affected by ball pressure. And I would have just like sat a guy at the hoop. Do you also know that you can come from underneath the hoop and knock that ball out? So like Zubac could have came from under the rim to knock that ball out. I'm sure NBA players don't know that either.
I feel like, man, you're like, I didn't know that. Scal, we got to get Steve Javi out. We got to get you on television with the rules analysis. Yes. That's good stuff from our guy, Brian Scalabrine. Scal, Chris Haynes of Yahoo in turn reporting that Chris Paul is going to be back for the Suns for game number three. We do have has reopened here for game three in Los Angeles. Suns a 1-point favor. I'm seeing total around 219.5. So we don't yet know the status of Kawhi Leonard. Maybe we think he's going to play. Maybe he's not. But it does look like Chris Paul is going to be back. How do you see game three going and the rest of the series going here with Phoenix and the LA Clippers?
Man, I would get all over that right away because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to bet the Clippers on that. So I would take the Clippers to win game three. I don't think they're going to win game four, but I do think, listen, everybody else who's in COVID, they come back and they complain about COVID for about a month after they get back playing. Chris Paul's going to come back and hit the ground running. I would be all over the Clippers in game three at home. And I think that you might see that line shift by the time it's game time. So I really like the Clippers in that one.
So, Scal, I know you mentioned, okay, you think the Clippers are going to win game three. You think the Suns are going to win game four. So you do still think long-term. I mean, let's say Chris Paul really is affected and he's not very good, and Kawhi Leonard, we're not really sure about the end of the series. You still feel very confident the Suns are going to win the series?
Yeah, I like the Suns in this series. I think they're pressing the right buttons. The only thing, Tyronn Lue, who doesn't get enough credit as a great coach, like Tyronn Lue was a coach, an assistant coach in Boston when I was there. And I thought he was phenomenal. And I don't think, because any coach that coaches LeBron James doesn't get the credit that they deserve, but he has made the right adjustments in the Dallas series. He made the right adjustment against, who did they play last time? The Jazz series, and he put Terrence Mann out there. He's been making the right adjustments along the way. I'm assuming he'll do that again in this series. Now, it's a little bit different because there hasn't been Chris Paul, and he'll be there, so it's not like he's going to adjust the campaign. You kind of like, you got to treat that as an anomaly. But even from game one to game two, look what he did with Devin Booker and playing Patrick Beverley. He's got a nice group over there. So I do believe in Ty Lue, but I think the Suns are just a better team if Chris Paul can come back and just be average for games three and four. Suns win this thing. And I'm not sure I like him in four yet. I got to watch three, but I do like the Suns to eventually win the series.
You better you bet, BetQL Wednesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley chatting NBA with Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, NBA champion, the great Brian Scalabrine. So Scal, Chris Paul looks like he's going to be back in game number three. For those of us that like to bet player props, pretty much everyone on the show, everyone listening, everyone watching right now, we love to bet these player props. Chris Paul coming back, what's the domino effect that has on the players around him? Like, do you like Devin Booker more? Do you like Booker less? Do you like campaign less now? What about Ayton? Like, what is the trickle-down effect from Chris Paul getting minutes now? How does it impact the players around him on the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, so Ayton more, Booker more, and I don't know where they have Chris Paul, but I can see him. You know, Chris Paul might be one of those things where he can dominate the game just with his passing, so... Do you have those numbers? I'll tell you when I say more.
Like we won't have them. Yeah. Those won't be up now.
I mean, no, Booker will be like, yeah, Booker will be like 28 and a half points. Something like that would be my guess. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good number.
yes. That is
a fake number. Scal, I made it up. But yeah.
Scal, that is how this works. The numbers are generally pretty good.
I'd take a less on that. I would think, I think the Clippers are going to play really well in game number three. And then I'm not sure. I got to watch three to understand four. So I would take the upper on Ayton, probably the lower on Devin Booker, just looking at, you know, what the adjustments that the Clippers are going to make. I'm sure they're going to make a conscious effort to take away Devin Booker. I think they like what they did. Paul George makes those free throws. They probably win that game. So, which he said it's not a big deal. So I guess it's not really a big deal that he missed two free throws at the end of a game. But I would say I think they figured out Devin Booker at least for one game. But I really like the Clippers in this game. I would look heavily towards them in this game.
Scott, we got about 5 minutes left. We can transition to the East Finals with game one tonight with Atlanta at Milwaukee. And we've had some money coming on Milwaukee a little bit this afternoon. So some Milwaukee minus eights now in the market. So a pretty big favorite for game one in a conference finals. Usually the conference finals, obviously, an evenly matched kind of the two best teams. That's not really what we have here. We're Milwaukee in the series, minus 500, a monster favorite in the series, big favorite in game one. Your kind of, you know, general takeaways, what you expect here in the Eastern Conference Finals. Should Milwaukee be this big of a favorite?
Yeah, so here's what I would do in this one. I think Milwaukee's going to win. That's a lot of points. Like, I personally would avoid the start of this game, and I would live bet it. I feel like Atlanta is going to go on a run somewhere. So if that can creep down to two or three, Milwaukee favored by two or three, I like that. But I just don't feel comfortable. I think the Bucks are a better team. I think they're going to win the series. That just seems like a lot, and I'm pretty confident that Atlanta at some point is going to make a run. They always do. They always figure out something in the middle of a game, and then you could probably chip away at them. I mean, geez, they were down by 26. They were down by 18, but, you know, like, they have to get down, and then they have to have the ability to get back to win those games. So, like, a streaky team like Atlanta, I'm going to live bet that. I'm going to wait for Atlanta to make a run, and if they never make a run, then I'll probably just sit on my hands on that one. But I do think the Bucks are going to win. But 8 points, gosh, man, that's just a lot of points to win by. And a game where you have to have somewhat of an emotional letdown after that grueling series. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like the Bucks-Nets with a grueling series. It's not like I'm trying to take away anything from Atlanta.
I mean, Scal, we're not athletes. You actually did this at the highest level. Our opinion doesn't matter. Yours does.
But both teams played seven. Yeah, both teams went to seven games. Yeah.
Yeah, but one seemed like a bloodbath where everyone's playing every single minute. The other one, like, you know, Trae Young, he subbed out. So I feel like, and Milwaukee, to beat the Nets, like, that was a big hurdle for them, especially being down. So I feel like that Milwaukee's going to have a little bit of an emotional lull. Doesn't mean they can't win the game, but like I said, I'll be all over the live betting, waiting for Atlanta to go up by 10, maybe even 12 points and try to jump on that.
Our baby boy is all grown up. Absolutely love it. Scal, and by the way, congratulations, because I remember you said that you had a big bet on Milwaukee to win that series, mm-hmm. which ended up coming through. Scal, got about a minute to go here. Curious your take on the total tonight, the over or the under, or as you called it earlier in their interview, the upper and the lower between Atlanta and Milwaukee tonight, which is sitting at 225.5, and how you see this game playing out. Is it going to be high tempo? Atlanta going to try and slow it down? How do you see it? And if you had to go upper or lower, 225.5, where would you go tonight?
Lower. I would take the lower because I just feel like everyone's going to be emotionally spent in this series, and it's going to be a fill-out series. So I would definitely take the under on this one. But by the way, just like full disclosure, I'm terrible with uppers and lowers, just letting you know.
Listen, we just needs to be a new segment
like
on the show.
Dental work? Uppers, like, what are we talking
uppers,
about?
Uppers and lowers, or like we're talking drugs on You Better You Bet. Uppers and lowers with Brian Scalabrine. Scal, we got like 15 seconds here. Did you get a chance to ask the kids what they think about LeBron and Space Jam 2?
Yeah, no one's excited. No one. The kids nowadays, you know, they're like in the Instagram and stuff like that. I think they'll watch the highlights.
You know, I think it was The Who that famously said, the kids are all right. I got to tell you, I agree with them. Scal, great job. We love having you on the show. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next week here on You Better You Bet.
Sounds good. See ya.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today and visit BetQL.com today. They can help you, Ken, you know, with the overs and unders, a.k.a. the uppers and lowers. I absolutely love that. That will absolutely become a thing here on You Better, You Better. All right, 2 hours down. Hour number three coming up next here. A couple great guests coming up. Joe Giglio, Sam Panayotovich. But we start the hour with what we're not going to talk about in the next 2 hours on You Better, You Bet.
From pro basketball to Nikki football, soccer bets, and so much more, we've got you covered. It's You Better, You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley from BetQL.